If you want to start turning your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. It's going to, next few weeks, spend some time. Philippians has a lot of very quotable verses, but I wanted to see them in context, see what is going on there with them. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at those in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 is our key verse in that, but we want to see it in its context. While I'm thinking about it, if you need something to mess with your hands, there are the little bags in the foyer. Some of you adults are looking at me like I'm talking to you. And I may be, but there's some things in there with crayons and whatnot. I can say that because if you've ever watched me sit, I don't do a very good job of it. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 19. And if you would, out of respect for God's word, would you stand with me? For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we come to you and we need you to speak through your word, Lord, your Holy Spirit. I ask that you guide my words and my thoughts to accurately teach your word, O Lord. Your word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we are wise when we take your word in and ponder on it. And as we allow your Holy Spirit to minister the word to our hearts and our minds and to our lives, that it would change our actions and our attitudes, O Lord. We need more of you. And so, Lord, I pray that you do that work in us. If there's some here that do not know you as Savior, that as they see Christ, that they would yearn to know him, to receive the gift of eternal life, of true life in him and only in him. We love you and we need you. We were made for you. Forgive us where we fail you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, sacrifice, and High Priest, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so as I read through that, you probably heard a verse. It's like, oh, I've heard that before. That seems like one that I've heard before. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it's just a nice little concise statement there. But it is significant in that there's a lot in that. And it's connected to the things that are around it there. And so we wanted to spend just a little bit of time this morning looking at that. And some of this will be a refresher if you were here last week. But you'll remember that the Apostle Paul wrote this from prison. I don't know if he was under like house arrest. That's where Acts leaves him in Acts 28, the last verse. Or if he was actually in one of the Roman dungeons. But he was not a free man. He was in the custody of Rome, awaiting trial before Caesar, And if we read between the lines properly, you're about to get released one more time. And you, as you read through Paul's letter to the Philippians, you get glimpses of his realization that it could go very badly, because Nero was crazy, but it could also go really well in that he could be released again and continue serving Christ with his life. And that's the context as he's talking about here, is that while he's been in prison, there are some people that they've been inspired by his boldness and they're preaching the gospel. There's others who've been frustrated by Paul, and this is their opportunity to kind of shine the light on themselves, but they do preach the gospel. And so Paul says, either way, the gospel is being preached, and I am thankful for that. But he says, continue to pray. And that's where we are in verse 19 then, is that I'll be delivered, that God will prove himself my Savior even in these circumstances through your prayer and as God's Spirit works. But either way, that I'm not ashamed. That I do not have a shame in the gospel or in Christ, and that I bring nothing to shame him. But with all boldness, that Christ will be revealed in my body. And that sets us up here for that key verse, is that Paul says, I want my life to be defined by Christ. I want my life to be defined by Christ. For me to live is Christ. As you look at the Apostle Paul's life, it's hard to wrap our minds around it. Because he started out as a Jew among Jews. He was a Pharisee of the highest order, who his zeal for God was such that he persecuted the church, persecuted the followers of Jesus Christ. Just the same as the Pharisees, the generation before him, had crucified Christ. He was convinced he was doing the right thing. Kind of reading between the lines, but it looks like that day that Stephen, the martyr, died for his testimony for Jesus Christ, it stuck something in Paul that he couldn't get out. He couldn't forget the way Stephen died, the way Stephen proclaimed the truth that day, using the scriptures to point that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that the Jewish leaders were following in the footsteps of their forefathers and rejecting the work that God had been doing all along, the tragedy of his nation. And that the day Stephen died, his words were that he could look up and see Christ standing at the right hand of God. And the peace and confidence that man died with that day as the stones rained down on his body, that he was the victor, and all those who were casting stones were the losers. It didn't convert him that day, but you can picture in your mind's eye the influence that had on Saul of Tarsus as he tried to fight against that it can't be right, can it? As he persecuted the church and they scattered and he chased them, and he was on his way to Damascus, the capital of the next province over, to eradicate those Christians, when he ran into Christ. And when he realized Christ had risen from the dead, it changed everything. And he could understand then what Stephen was saying. A life consumed with Christ, and death was gain. And as you can read in the pages of Acts, Paul jumped into those footprints and charged hard. where Stephen had left off. That his life would be about telling others of Jesus Christ. And as he did that, it causes us to pause for a minute. And it should. Because where does that apply to you and me then? How does that apply to us then? Because not all of us are going to be apostles. None of us, actually. Not all are going to be preachers. Not all are going to be missionaries. But God is still calling some to that role. But it's not just them who live for Christ, like Saul of Tarsus did. It's all of us who were called to live for Christ. We just had commencement ceremonies yesterday across the street. Graduation. And it's called commencement because it is the beginning of something more than it is the end of something. Because what ended was confining. What begins is wide open. And that's why we pray and have been praying and parents have been praying and praying for these young people of our church who it's commenced the wide open of adulthood before them. And that they follow Christ in that. Because whatever the next stage of the journey is, our prayer, what we've been striving to do in Sunday school and children's chapel and in youth groups on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and church camps and outings and all these things combining together in Sunday mornings, each of them would launch off into that wide open following Christ with a passion for Him. Because the reality is that's our prayer for each and every one of y'all that commenced a long time ago. I don't even want to think about how long many years it's been since I commenced from McDonald County High. But it is that zeal that Paul has that is, you may say, I'll never be like the Apostle Paul. Well, maybe not. But are we striving to have more love for God? To have that zeal for Christ? I want that. Meaning I don't have that, but I desire that. That the Apostle Paul, when he went and made tents, it was for Christ. When he walked down the road, it was for Christ. As he ate a meal, it was for Christ. All those things were for Christ, whatever he did. When he laid his head down at the end of the day, it was for Christ. And when he got up in the morning, it was for Christ. Because, last week we looked at, in Deuteronomy, we saw where God told, through Moses, the parents, the adults there in who were walking out of the Exodus, that I want you in your rising up and in your laying down, in your eating and in your walking and your working, I want you to pass these truths on to the next generation. And our challenge last week was that we would pass that on to the next generation, whether it is next generation in physical age or next generation in spiritual age. Because we can all be the next gen. We can all be making the next generation, whether that person is 8 or 80 years old. And here we see that Paul grasps that and said, yeah, I want to make as many disciples as I can wherever I go. With everything I do. So whether he was teaching it one-on-one or teaching to a crowd or writing a letter, which he probably was reciting a letter, which means there were other people listening as he had these letters penned and more people were being taught. But it was his passion for Christ. when he went and stood before governors and kings and Emperor Nero, we know what his claim was. It was Christ. Whether he was ministering to a runaway slave or the soldier who was chained next to him, it was ministering Christ. Just that it came out of him all the time. That godly spirit, that Christian living and decisions and attitude, as well as the gospel just gushing out of him. That he would have boldness, as always. That Christ will be magnified. That he would be revealed, glorified, honored. That Christ would be pleased with what he was doing, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's a bold statement. You know, there's, Gene, it's not too often I use a country song, but there's an old country song that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And we even see that in the Apostle Paul. He was ready to go to heaven, but he wasn't ready yet to die. But there is, the truth of that is pointed here in that Paul says, you know, it's a hard decision. And it's kind of cool that he thinks out loud for us so that we can learn from his thinking. Because he says, you know, because death is a gain. Get to go to heaven. It's not something to be avoided. And heaven isn't, it's really funny here. Apostle Paul doesn't talk anything about streets of gold, mansions, you know, there's no harps and clouds or angel wings or anything silly like that. What is it he's really looking forward to? To see Christ. To be with Jesus. You know, that was the... There's three places that really, that we anchor. There's a solid truth here that it's worth mentioning, because some people, there's a minority in Christianity that kind of struggles with this. But when we die, we immediately in the presence of the Lord. There's not like a suspended animation, soul sleep or something like that. That we... Well, as Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Immediate. That as this body breathes its last, the soul goes to be with Christ. We have it right here that he says, it's hard to decide. But to depart is to be with Christ. And then if you've been on Wednesday night, saw 2 Corinthians, which was now like 2 years ago that we were going through 2 Corinthians. But Paul specifically said, you know, that when we vacate this tent, we're headed to so much better. It's immediate to be with Christ. And in all three of those, that what Jesus told the thief on the cross and what Paul told in these two letters, the common theme in that is that it is with Christ. Christ. That's glory. And all the things that are attached to that. That no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, because we will be with our Savior. No more struggles with sin, no more of even its presence. The penalty has been taken care of. The power has been defeated, but I'm still in the presence of sin and I still wrestle with it, but it is gone at that point because I'm with Jesus then. He dwells with me now. Don't get me wrong. I have His Holy Spirit dwelling within me. But then our faith shall be sight. And for Him, He says, that is the better. That is the gain. And He says, I can't tell you what I would choose, but I know which is better for me. And you could say, well, yeah, but he's in jail. You know, his his body has been through the ringer and then some. Of course it would be better, right? But it doesn't matter how good your circumstances are. Death is gain in Christ. To be with Christ. And that's the key in that, is that we have to be born again. We have to be saved in order to have that kind of hope in Christ. If we don't have the forgiveness of sins, then death is no gain. This is as good as it gets. But in Christ, this is as bad as it gets, and it only gets better on the other side. And so, for Paul, leaving this sin-ravaged world and to be with Christ, that's paradise. To be away from the body, to be present with the Lord. And that should kind of challenge us a little bit. Because here, in black and white for us, is this man who, this human, who has just said that Christ is his greatest desire, more than anything else that this life could offer him, it pales in comparison to his desire to be with Christ. Because sometimes it's a struggle, isn't it? You know? But Paul doesn't leave us there thinking that he was wishing he was dead, because he doesn't. As good as that is, the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And that's not an insult against them. In the mind, as they would have read that in their culture, that was the highest expression of love that they just heard him say. Because he would choose to continue on what was best for them over himself. And this is, as we saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, this is a group of believers that he poured his life into, and they have had such a close fellowship over the years as they've served together, even though they were absent from one another. Their hearts were knit together. Of all of Paul's letters, you love reading this one because it's all just warmth and love and Christ magnified in their life and in his, and the kinship they have together. It's not like reading 1 Corinthians where they're in trouble. It's not like Galatians where he wonders what on earth they're thinking. It's Philippians, and it's wonderful. And in this, he says, you guys are that important to me. And to remain in the flesh, I choose that. And I'm confident that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith. That they would continue to grow and to have joy in faith in Jesus Christ. That's that pastor's heart there. Is that his desire is this. That in his life, whether it ends sooner or later, that his life would magnify Christ, even to and through death. And to magnify Christ would be the progress and joy of their faith. That they would walk worthy of the gospel. And I don't know about you, but that's one of those statements that it's, you want to be found worthy. You know, we have glimpses in that in our culture where Well, it's a think about the verse from John 15. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's a verse that rings. You'll see it in places that you wouldn't even expect to see Bible verses. Because it's inspiring as we consider our first responders and our military and people who willingly wade in to sacrifice themselves to help others. And they inspire us. And here we see that idea that, are we worthy of that? Are we worthy of that sacrifice? Have we made good on that opportunity that someone gave up in order for us to have? You know, parents that sacrificed so that their kids could have. People who gave up and did for others. And so he says, I want you to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ, because who gave up more than Christ? And we'll see more of that as we look in chapter 2, how he, because the thought we're grasping a hold of here is what leads to that discussion in chapter 2, when he talks about Christ emptying himself as God the Son to come and put on human form and to live as a servant and to die, and not die for himself, but to die in our place and the cruelty of the cross, so that we might be rescued from ourselves and the wrath of God that we deserve. Walk worthy of that good news, it's overwhelming to think about. But he did it anyways. Why? Because he loved. Loved us when we weren't worth it. Loved us when we didn't deserve it. So we really don't. But he does anyways. And you know what they say, the value is ascribed by what someone is willing to pay. And he was willing to pay all for you and for me. So we're not worthless. We're not castaways in Christ. In Christ, there's been a great price paid. And so Paul says, walk worthy of that. And we'll just use our remaining time to kind of unpack that idea that goes along with that magnifying to glorify Christ with my life, that he would be my life. And most of the letter is going to be a continuation of that thought. But here in verses 27 through 30, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that when I get news of you, I hear that you stand fast in one spirit. Stand. And having done all to stand, that we would continue to be just steadfast, not giving up, not running away, but doing it in unity as one, that we as the local body, as the family of Christ, that we stand in one spirit with one mind, that unity that comes in that we be striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I'm going to read a little bit here from Matthew Henry. As he talks about this idea of striving, because we can strive together or we can strive apart. And he says, strive together, not strive with one another. For we must strive together against a common adversary with one heart and one mind. one mind, but that we strive. Why would we strive? Because He is worthy. That we who profess the gospel strive for it. To take a holy violence in taking the kingdom of heaven. You remember Jesus talked something about that, and it's kind of hard to wrestle with in the Gospels, that the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it, but that there is a holy pursuit, an all-in charge towards Christ and for His kingdom. Again, another verse from Philippians that we'll look at in a few weeks, that this is, Paul said, his one thing is to pursue Christ, Him more than anything else. It is a striving that if religion is worth anything, it is worth everything. People by doing nothing go to hell, but it is by Christ that we gain heaven. And you have to choose that. You don't accident into heaven. You must choose to count the cost and to follow Him. It's faith. It's grace. Don't get me wrong. We do not work for it. But it will cost us everything. And we will gain more. Even still. And so, stand fast. Strive together. And then it continues on. That we stay true even under persecution. Because he says, you've got adversaries. You've got trouble. And he says, so continue on. Don't give up just because they come against you. Because what's interesting there in verse 28, he says, your faithfulness proves that they are wrong in this world. And I can't help but think that he's thinking back to Stephen and how Stephen, as he was faithful to the very end, he convicted all those there because, oh, Christ is worth it. Christ is worth it. And then lastly, he says that we not only suffer, but we suffer for His sake. That His sake is first. Perseverance and priority. And so it comes back to that idea that whatever I'm doing, it's for Christ. And whatever I'm doing, it is being mindful of Christ. And so we live as Christ. Because to die is gain. And so whether I'm as I go to my job, it is for Christ. Serving for Him. As I work in my yard or in the garden, it is for Christ. As how do I do that? Well, I was reminded of that Thursday because I was having a super frustrating moment with my yard and my mower, and I was about ready to just take it and start beating it because it had taken me 4 hours to do an hour and a half job, and I was tired of working on my mower. And that's when I realized the neighbors across the street were watching. And they hollered at me, and I went over and visited with them. And she's like, I was waiting to see what you were going to do with that mower. It's like, well, I was about to have a fit, and God stopped me. But do it as unto Christ. Those little things like that, but there are opportunities for us to decide, am I going to act in the flesh, or am I going to follow the example of Christ? Because to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't know where the Holy Spirit has touched your life in this morning, but we're going to have a song of invitation. And it's an opportunity to respond as the Holy Spirit has touched on some of those things. And so I ask that you respond first as we stand together. Maybe there's some that are like, I need to have Christ. Well, this would be an opportunity. Come talk to me. I'd love to show you how to come to know Christ. If you want to pray for someone, maybe there's some area of your life, it's like, I've got to give that over to Christ because He's not being magnified there. But will you stand? Will you respond as the Holy Spirit leads? Seated a minute. Jay, come on down.
Jay's in trouble.
Yeah. It's always
the Price is Right.
It is kind of like The Price is Right. Mason, take off your guitar. You're coming over here too. So, we are blessed in our church with these two young men. I was visiting with someone this weekend when shortly after I came to Prairie Oaks, I had the privilege with Miss Libby of teaching a Sunday school class that included these two young men. And they've been a part of my life since then. You know, I haven't always had the leisure of just every class church meeting with you guys. But I do have the leisure and pleasure of spending a lot of free time with you guys. And so I love these two men. And I am excited. As they graduated from high school yesterday, he graduated from high school. We're still waiting on Mason, but he promises he'll finish. and our church has a tradition of passing on a Bible. Where'd you go, Jay? There you are.
Right here.
Okay. And they've been going through on Sunday nights with Mr. Brian through apologetics to defend their faith and understand their faith and explain their faith. And so they asked to have some tools along that line. And so, Mason, there's one for you. Jay, notice I spelled your name right?
Yes.
It's one letter, Jay. But... you can, but just congratulate them on this transition in their life. And again, it's an opportunity to, we are intensely blessed, because you notice I had to call them from places of service.
Amen.
They are not spectators at Prairie Oaks. They are servants as they lead music. And this is not something they just started doing. This is something they've been doing a long time. And I am so proud of both of them. Get over here. I am so proud of them and honored to have them in my life. And I'm excited for what God's going to do with them next. I don't know what that is. God does. And I know as Paul told the Philippians, but I do know this from having seen the star. I know that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so as he says in the second chapter of Philippians, continue to work out that salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And so, amen. Thank you. I want to have a word of prayer for these guys. Give them applause. Brother David, I know you've already prayed once this morning, but would you pray a word of blessing on these two gentlemen? All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I love you guys. Cool. You guys can do whatever there. Couple quick announcements before we head out. We have next Sunday is fourth Sunday, but we're not going to do our normal lunch. We're going to have a cookout that evening. And so you have all Sunday afternoon to kind of work on a dish if you want. I was begging for homemade ice cream, so if someone wants to do that, that'd be awesome. I'll try to do one too. But just kind of some sides and stuff to go with what will come off the grill. And so we're doing that next Sunday, just a chance to celebrate and to fellowship, because we've got big things like graduations. We've got little things like the next generation. You know, tonight, I haven't double-checked with Jill and Casey, but the kids are going to kind of share some of what they learned in the Gospel Project. And the party's next week. Sorry, bro. I'll bring you a fudgesicle if that'll help tide you over till next week. Okay. But we're doing that tonight and tomorrow night. I made notes. Where did my Bible go? I did both the things on my notes. I didn't keep enough notes then. So look in your bulletin, see what else is in there. We will have our services tonight. Choir practice, I assume. Yep. Good deal. And so... T-shirt sizes. There was something else. Thank you, Miss Valerie. Vacation Bible School is coming up. And it's been a while since we just had a general T-shirt for church. And so it's open to everybody. I can't tell you exactly what yet, but we've decided we're going to have a blue shirt. Probably pretty similar to Jack's T-shirt or Jack's polo shirt there, except it'll be...
Find ourselves in the dark.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal. I like bright colors, and that's how it works. Although today I don't look it. So that, and then this Saturday, I think there's a work day. There's work day in the morning. Then we're going to go sing at the nursing home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ideal. We will do basic stuff. They won't care if we are on key or not. Everybody's welcome to come.
And so you don't have to be youth to come.
To Brad's house, I'll provide the food and we'll feed
everyone that comes.
Little kid that wants to come and be glad with mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Don't even have to wait for you. Send them an offie.
I like that. That doesn't say anything about Jack or Jay, just saying. Okay, so I did need to mention those so that you got to know what's going on with that. Anything else we need to mention before we're dismissed? Continue to pray for some of our folks, Stephen and others. Let's stand, let's close in prayer. Jim Sargent, would you voice that prayer for us?